Now, it's a pleasure to be back with Saint Helens here. I enjoyed my time 2 weeks ago when I was down here in the morning and at night. But we're back down the hall this morning, just a back hall still, but it won't be long till we're back in the main hall. Right, can we come tonight, please, to, if you have a Bible, to John chapter 1, John's Gospel in chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1, and just one verse 29. The next day John seen Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Right, can we come now please to Exodus chapter 12? Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take off the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And he shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, he shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the puffiness thereof. And he shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, he shall burn with fire. And this shall he eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff on your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the place shall not be upon you to destroy you, and I smite the land of Egypt. And we do know that God bless the reading of His holy word. So don't worry tonight, it's quite a lengthy reading tonight. It's not going to be anything complicated tonight, but really, the verse I want to take is the first verse that we read as our text tonight. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now Lord Jesus, He was that Lamb of God, and He died on that cross of Calvary, and He died there for our sins. And just to understand this statement, illustrate it if you like. I'm just going to pull some points out from this story known as the Passover. The Passover story in Exodus chapter 12. Now, to give you some background to this story, God's chosen people Israel had been slaves in the land of Egypt, and the people who were slaves there had a really hard time, and they cried unto God, and God sent Moses as His servant to come and deliver His people. And God sent Moses to a man called Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt. And the king of Egypt just would not let the people go. And God, through Moses, brought 10 plagues in total. It started with waters turned to blood, frogs in the land, lice, boils, fire, hailstones, thick darkness, and other ones. But yet, Pharaoh's heart was still hardened, and he wouldn't let the people go. Now, I'm thinking of this story tonight. I want to think of it under three headings. Three headings are, firstly, provision of the Lamb. And obviously, I'm thinking in connection with the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. Protection of the Lamb. And then, last of all, the Passover. But the point I want to bring, first of all, under this general heading of the provision of the Lamb is, God was trying to speak to Pharaoh through Moses. And Moses, and Pharaoh just wouldn't, he just wouldn't budge, he just wouldn't listen. He would change his mind and then change his mind again. His heart was hardened. Now, first point I want to bring to you tonight is, it may be that God's trying to speak to someone here, and maybe you felt it over previous times, but yet you've just been stubborn, you just not want to take that step, you're just refusing to take that step of obedience and to repent of your sins. Well, Pharaoh, he was stubborn here. God gave Pharaoh lots of opportunities, really. Lots of opportunities. But then, God's patience ran out eventually. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 as well it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So the Pharaoh, through an all his ways, he was getting an opportunity. So he did the warning. But yet he wouldn't do it, he was stubborn. So we were just last plague, this is the 10th plague. And verse 12 that we read, well, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt shall I execute judgment. Now it's an old translation this, but to make it perfectly clear, the firstborn in every house, so the oldest person, the oldest child, in every house in the land of Egypt, they would die that night. So, in my house, I'm oldest in my house, so it would have been me. And my sisters would have been okay, but if it was me, mom and dad would have to take that lamb, or would have to kill that lamb, and put the blood on the doorpost, or else it would have been me, the firstborn. So, judgment was coming, and judgment is coming to us, because of our sins. God was really judging Pharaoh in Egypt here, for afflicting his people. If I'm not letting these people go. And it's the same for each person here. God will judge us because of our sins. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, at the end of the message I'm going to speak a bit more about judgment, but I'm going to leave judgment for now. And I'm going to come on to this, some points from this story of the pastor that we read here. Now, in verse 3 it says, they have to take every man a lamb. Now the lamb here was to be a substitute, so every firstborn was going to die, so instead of the firstborn dying in that house, the lamb died instead. So that's the principle of a substitute. Someone taking someone's place at school, substitute teacher, substitute in football, this idea of substitute. So the lamb here was the substitute. Now, another verse, John chapter 1 verse 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now it's John the Baptist that's speaking here. Well, John the Baptist's job really was to point forward to the Lord Jesus. Point forward to one who would come from God, God's Holy Son, and he would come and he would really die for the sins of the people. Now, he says, behold the Lamb of God. Now, really, if you think about the expression, behold the Lamb of God, it's really to consider the Lamb of God, to look upon him, consider who he is. And tonight, what I want each person here is to consider the Lord Jesus, who he was, consider that he died for your sins on the cross, and really to make a decision about him, really to accept him as your own and personal Saviour. Now, in the provision of the lamb, another example of the provision of the lamb is really the story of Abraham and Isaac in the Old Testament. Abraham had a son when he was very old. His wife was really past the natural age of having children. But God says, you're going to have a son. And from him is going to be many nations. So, eventually he had a son, and he called his name Isaac. And one day God said to Isaac, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, and I want you to take him and sacrifice him. Now that's really a great thing, isn't it? Because I'm not a parent or anything, but there's many parents here, and I can imagine what they would think if they were told to go and strategize one of their children. It would certainly be a big test. But that's what he was asked to do. And he's taken them up to this mountain of Ireland where the sacrifice was to take place. And Isaac, quite an intelligent kind of son that he was, he says to his dad, well, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but there's no lamb. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And his dad said to him, God himself shall provide a lamb. Now that there is really a picture of the Lord Jesus, a picture of the lamb that God would provide. God himself shall provide a lamb. And that's what we're looking forward to, Lord Jesus. It is always in God's mind to provide his son to die on that cross of Calvary. Now, Abraham in the story, he was about to do it. He was about to kill his son. And God didn't intervene. He says, don't stop. I've seen it, you're wrong to do it. Don't do it. And then there was a ram caught in the thicket. And the ram's just a sheep. Ram caught in the thicket. And the ram was really substituted by Isaac. Isaac, he could have died that day. But the ram was there, and the ram was sacrificed instead. Now, there's a substitute for Isaac here. But there's no substitute for the Lord Jesus. He is our substitute. He came to die for his sins on the cross. There's no one else that could have come. There's a hymn that I quite enjoy, and some of the words is, there was no other good enough to pay Christ for sin. He only could have locked the gates of heaven and let us in. In Romans chapter 8 verse 32 it says that God spared not his only son. So, in the story here, we're speaking about the provision of the lamb. In verse 4 it says, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him his neighbour take unto his house according to the number of souls. So really what it's saying here is, it's possible that there was a house just a few in it, and really it didn't warrant the lamb because the lamb would have been expensive and to buy the lamb and everything. So it's possible that a lamb was too much for a house, but it was never possible that a lamb wasn't enough for a house. So the point I want to bring to you here is, the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary is sufficient to pay the price of every sin ever committed. The you here tonight might say, well, I'm a special bad person, there's no way I can be saved. Well, that's not true. The Lord Jesus' death on the cross was enough to pay the price for every sin, and he did pay that price for every sin. But it's sufficient, because he was a holy, spotless Lamb of God. Now, in that verse that we read here, it says, it was one lamb per household. Now that might get you thinking and saying, well, maybe if mom and dad are saved and they do what we need to do, then maybe I'll be okay. Well, that's not the way it is. We need to come individually. We're personally accountable for our sins. And we personally need to come to Lord Jesus. I was speaking to a man at a work, in my work, but actually, I didn't have any job for a while, but now I've got two jobs. That's a bit too much. But it's better to have two jobs than no jobs, isn't it? So, so I was speaking to a man at work, and really, his sort of outlook on things, which is an outlook of lots of sort of nominal religious people, you might say. They think you're really born into religion. You're born a Christian. You're born a Catholic. You're born a Muslim, if you like. But that's not the case. You can't be born a Christian. Just if your mum and dad are Christians tonight, I didn't make you a Christian. That's the time in your life where you come and say to the Lord Jesus, come and say, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And I accept that Lord Jesus died for my sins on that cross of Calvary. Now, that's all I want to say really under the provision of the Lamb. But I want to say a bit now about the perfection of the Lamb. Now, in our story here, verse 5 and 6 in particular, the Lamb had to be without blemish. And we read also that it was kept from the 10th to the 14th day And that was really test out that it really was a pure, spotless lamb. It was a lamb without blemish. Now the Lord Jesus, he came to this earth, he came for 33 years. He didn't live a life to die isolated from people. He came, he was called a friend of publicans and sinners, so he had time for sinners. But yet the Bible will tell us that in him was no sin. He could not sin, he was a holy, spotless Lamb of God. And it's because he was sinless. That's the reason he could actually come. Now, in the Lord Jesus' life here, the 33 years, there's various people made witness to the fact that Lord Jesus was sinless. There was a man called Pilate. He had to sit in judgment for Lord Jesus. He was a Roman, he was a Roman governor, if you like, and the Jews who wanted to crucify the Lord Jesus, they couldn't do it on their own authority, so he came to Pilate, and they wanted Pilate to crucify the Lord Jesus, to condemn him. And Pilate says, "I find no fault in this man." That was Pilate's verdict. But he says, in another passage, he tried to really wash his hands off the Lord Jesus. He tried to say, "Well, I'm innocent of this, what of this just person. I've washed my hands." So maybe you tonight, really, in the sense of Pilate, you think you can wash your hands off the Lord Jesus, and you think, well, I accept that he was this righteous man. Okay, you say he was a holy man, that's great, but really, I washed my hands off it. But you can't do that, like, you can't sit on the fence. Pilate, he thought he was taking no decision, but really he did. He was the man that did crucify the Lord Jesus, he allowed it to happen, and he rejected the Lord Jesus. And tonight, Pilate would be in hell because he rejected the Lord Jesus. You can't sit on the fence to reject the Lord, to say you're sitting on your fence is really to reject him. Now also, apart from Pilate, there was the dying thief. The Lord Jesus, he died on the cross. There was a man at either side, a malefactor either side, a thief either side. One of the thieves rejected the Lord Jesus. Really, he says to the Lord Jesus, if you're the Christ, then come down on the cross and save us. He's only looking to save his own skin. But there was never dying beast. And he says, well, he recognises he's a sinner. He says, we're really here because we deserve to be. He was a thief, he recognised that. But he says, this man has done nothing amiss. So that was the record of the dying thief. But God himself witnessed on when the Lord Jesus was on the earth here that his son was sinless. When the Lord Jesus was baptized in the banks of the River Jordan, the Bible tells us it was a voice from heaven, and it was God speaking from heaven, and he says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." So what the record of Pilate, or the witness of the dying thief, that we have even more important witness from God himself. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Now there was another man, the centurion, who watched the crucifixion. He was possibly in charge of it, to make sure it was carried out as it should have been. So he's seen everything from beginning to end. He's seen the suffering of the Lord Jesus, the fact that the Lord Jesus didn't die in a normal death. He actually gave his life. He was able to just dismiss his life just to, from just a conscious spot, just to give up his life. And no other man can do that. He could only do that because he was the Son of God. And the witness of the centurion was, certainly this was a righteous man. And then another passage that tells us, sure, this was the Son of God. Now I want to come on to the Passover itself. So we'll talk about the provision of the lamb, then the perfection of the lamb. And last of all, I want to think for just a few minutes really about the Passover itself. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, we really have, God says, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I will execute judgment. So really, the Passover is really Passover judgment. And that's what I want to speak about now. A judgment that was reserved here, and same for us, judgment is reserved, but it's been passed over because of Lord Jesus' death on the cross. If we're still in our sins, then we'll be judged for those sins one day. The Bible in Revelation talks about a great white throne, and it says, men, small and great, so the great leaders of our times, world, the history of the world over there, just a normal person, criminals, people who seem to be great people, as far as history is concerned, they'll be there. And the books will be opened according to their life. And every man's found guilty. There's no one, based on their own standards, can be found righteous, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, according to the works, we're all found guilty. But then another book, and that's actually called The Lamb's Book of Life. I'm asking tonight about the Lamb of God. And that Lamb's Book of Life is the book of the Lord Jesus. In that book is the names of every person who accepted the Lord Jesus as a saviour. I know that my name will be in that book, and many people here, their names will be in that book. But will your name be in that book? The Lamb's Book of Life. And it says that those whose names were not written in the Book of Life were cast into the lake of fire, which is judgment. That's a terrible, solemn message to bring to you tonight. Now, in the story of the Passover here, there was a way of escape provided. All they had to do was to take the blood from that lamb and to put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel. And if they did that, then they were fine, they were secure. It says in our verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So there's a way provided for you tonight, in the same way as it's provided here. If you accept Lord Jesus as your Saviour, then God will look at the blood shed by His Son on that cross at Calvary, and He'll say, that person's sins are forgiven. Judgment will not fall on them, because my Son, He paid the price instead. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 it says, who his own self dare offend in his own body on the tree, which is the cross. That's the Lord Jesus speaking about here. He bore our sins on his own body on the tree. So when he sees the blood, he passed over them. It's the same with us. Now that's really a message I want to bring tonight. In some ways it's quite a solemn message when we're speaking about the judgment. So hope you remember this message tonight. First of all, about the vision of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus was the Lamb provided to come and to die for our sins. And the only reason he could come was because he was the spotless, pure Son of God. And he, last of all, forgot the perfection of the Lamb. And last of all, the Passover. When he sees the blood, Passover us. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So that's really the message I want to bring to tonight. And, well, we're closing prayer, then I've got a closing hymn actually. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you for our Son, the Lord Jesus. We think of this message tonight about the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I pray for each person here. Say to someone here, who's come and accepted the Lord Jesus as a Saviour, say indeed that they will consider him, what he's done for them, the fact he's come to die for their sins on that cross of Calvary, and they will take that step and accept him as their Saviour. And one day we'll be in that place called heaven and not in this other place called hell. So, I pray indeed for my Son, the Lord Jesus, say indeed that a blessing on each person here, and say indeed that won't you take that step. In the name of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, the hymn that I want to sing in closing is hymn number 292. 292. Just as I am, without one plea, but by thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. So my whole hymn, but just the main sheet after introduction.